Are you down in Flint right now, or are you in Michigan?
Yes. Yes, I'm in Michigan right now. Yep.
Yeah. I talked about this a lot today, just in terms of it's a really difficult day to talk about sports. It's a difficult day just to go and try to launch into like NBA play-in scenarios or playoff scenarios with what we're seeing. Again, it's not just in the United States. It has been more peaceful in Toronto, but there are the same issues here that extend to a lot of places in the United States. And I wonder if you could share with our audience just a little bit of what your experience is right now in Michigan.
Well, JD, here in Michigan, in Flint, everybody's heard the stories about Flint and in the past, and we did something remarkable. Yesterday, the sheriff of Flint, the sheriff of Genesee County, and all the officers put down their riot gear and marched on. And I bet you, a lot of people were expecting, out of all places, of Flint, Michigan, to be a place where they tried to tear things down. And I just think it goes to show the character of this city. Our people standing together and just trying to work out some solutions. And it's sad. It's saddening to see what's going on and the circumstances. And I know a lot of people are upset right now about about our rights, about everything that's going on. George Floyd. I think that was one of those things where, people just want to take a stand and say, hey, no more. And you got people, I don't want a bunch of people who are rioting, to make it to where it's defined on what everyone is thinking and doing. That's how some people have, handled the situation. And I don't condone that. And I'm not telling people to go out there and riot because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's not the right thing to do. But I can see the frustration. It's like, hey, we've been for so many years and so long been saying, hey, we need to stop this. We need to, figure out some different ways to handle things. And if people are fed up, and I'm just happy that we were able to respond, with that kind of leadership. And I tip my hats off to them. I wasn't able to make it yesterday because I've been, just dealing with some family issues and some family things, but. I'm happy. I'm happy that the way it went yesterday, but with the change, and you got have guys like Steven Jackson, God bless him and his family and what he's going through, and I think if you look at it, it's starting to hit home with people a lot more. 5 years from, 5 years ago, when you heard about things like this. You were like, wow, like this is really happening, even if you see it. But now when it's touched home and it's hitting loved ones and it's hitting people that's close to you, it's something that we really have to talk about. And it's not an easy conversation, but it's something that we have to sit down and try to figure out. And but it's a lot of things in place that's that's not right. And I could go on, forever and talk about, things that aren't right, but the solution that I want to offer is just being a voice and letting people know that I'm with them. We're with them, trying to do whatever we can to get this thing turned around, man. It's, oh man, I'm just, for the last couple of days, ever since the last couple incidents that happened, I've just really been kind of speechless. I've just been, walking around the house, shaking my head or just hugging my kids, a little tighter. And, it's unfortunate, but it's something we have to talk about. And it's something that needs to be addressed. And I feel like, we all have to use our platform to do the right things and come to some kind of, level ground.
Well, yeah, we need to use our platforms to have uncomfortable conversations and to make sure that these are things that extend beyond a week or 2 weeks from now. When, yeah, violence does start to die down. And this is the disappointing thing about all of this is that it took a spot, it took a scenario where things needed to get this heated in streets and into communities where shops are being looted and there's violence in the streets in order for things to happen this way. And it was a powerful image. It was very powerful seeing the sheriff of Flint take that walk. And I think that there was a real lesson to be learned from that, just in terms of how police in the community can be able to interact with that community and be able to actually protest with their communities rather than just, you know, showing up in riot gear at places and immediately getting people defensive, but to try to assimilate with those communities and prove that they are them. You saw it in Miami as well with their entire police force coming out and taking a knee. And it's like, you know what? That seems like a lot better of an approach right now than setting up barriers and staying behind, again, riot gear and military weapons and cans of mace. But you said it, man, is that, you know, athletes and black athletes, especially in the NBA, have had to deal with this for a really long time. We were saying that in 2016, you know, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony are standing up at the ESPYs talking about this exact same thing. And here we are in 2020. Where do you think the next step needs to go in terms of just the sporting community? Because athletes have long been doing what they can to propel and to amplify a message of needing help, that the black community needs help and that this is a problem in America and it's a problem in Canada. And it just feels as though the next step is going to have to be fans and ownership groups and general managers and coaches. Is that how you see it? Because it feels like a lot to be on just athletes right now.
Well, it's going to take collectively everyone, even the mindset. And I don't want, because I have family that's, you know, that are police officers and things. And, you know, we can't let, you know, a few bad bunches, dictate what everyone else is doing, you know, as far as, you know, the other police officers. Because like I said, because I have family, but I think the dialogue is important. It's important to have dialogue, have a common ground to express our concerns, you know, about how we get stopped. You know what I mean? We shouldn't have to worry about driving down the street doing anything and getting stopped and possibly killed. You know, I mean, that's just, I just feel like it's just things that we, like, I mean, even if you look at George Floyd, I mean, man, I was in tears watching that video as a man had a smirk on his face and he had his knee in his neck and three other guys on the other side. Like, I can't even, like, that's, like, I remember being a kid and, you know, your family or your one of your cousins or something, y'all playing around and they're bigger than you and they, you know, they're choking you or have a pillow over your head and you're like, oh, I can't breathe, stop, you know, and like, remember that panic and y'all get up and laugh and, you know, like, this is real life for us and what, you know, what we have to go through. And it just shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. And then for years, like if you look at D-Wade, those guys, man, they, you know, they put themselves on the line to speak a great message. And, you know, and 4 years later, we still have to be going, you know, through this. And I think a lot of athletes, if you look at Jaylen Brown, some of these guys have been real vocal about being out there on the front lines and going out and marching and doing what we can and just letting people know that we support them because we're in a position sometimes because we, you know, it's been times I've been stopped. And the police say, oh, hey, how you doing, Morris? You all right? Hey, slow down. All right, have a good one. You know, it's like if I wasn't, you know, a celebrity, who knows what would have happened? You know, I mean, I've been in instances when I was younger when I've been profiled and things like that. So it just has to be a systematic change. And, you know, it has to start with the dialogue. And I think that Flint, Michigan, did, you know, we did a great job. Our people did a great job on you know, and coming together. But also just think about this. If someone's coming over, you know, and they or trying to get in or trying to get some change, they say, hey, we need some change, you know. Then they come back the next day or the next week, hey, you know, what are we going to do about this change? It's really needs. After the 100th time, that person isn't going to be coming nice saying, hey, we need change. They're going to be like, you know, they're going to take a different approach. You know, and that's just what I want people to understand is, you know, a lot of people are angry. A lot of people are upset. A lot of people, you know, saying, hey, you know, have taken on different mentalities. But we have to, you know, just take that to mind that it's been thousands of times where we're asking for change. We want change. You know, that's just human nature.
Well, this is what I keep thinking about with in terms of some of the stars in the NBA right now, and yeah, former players and current players, is that you have been asking for change, and it's been happening for a really long time, and while things have been peaceful, you know, we were just talking to Alvin Williams about this, the frustration of the Colin Kaepernick protest is just that it was a peaceful protest that people ended up contorting into something different and then growing tired of it to the point where a guy was blackballed and it was just like, oh, well, that's just the way it goes. He shouldn't have brought politics into sports, to people all of a sudden clamoring for it and demanding for it. And now it becomes this thing where, yeah, okay, now it's almost a prerequisite for you to be an athlete. But do you think that players and current players and former players are going to start asking from the league? Because you said it, it's going to be about conversations and partnerships with other groups because they've been maximizing their platforms for a really long time, or at least using a large output of it, that one of the priorities for players and the league now is going to be trying to find commitments from ownership groups and cities to use to actually enact some type of change that is beyond just, you know, players speaking out and players' money being donated to causes.
Right. I mean, it's bigger than that. I mean, you can have guys who coming out of their pockets, you know, to do things. And I just think collectively there has to just be all across the board some communication and change. And it's unfortunate to see, you know, a guy that's kneeling, that, you know, stuck his neck out in his career out on the line because he saw what it was. He saw how if he goes somewhere, or they saying, oh, hey, Colin Kaepernick, or hey, this is that person. But for the average person, you know, it's tough. It's tough to, you know, every time you get in the car to go to the grocery store, you're thinking about getting stopped. You're thinking about, hey, could I possibly not see my kids for the last time? And I mean, to see athletes stand up for that, I think you're going to see a lot more athletes, you know, moving forward, especially the younger generation of kids who are, I mean, they're the ones who are really going to be affected by this, because, I mean, if you look at 10, 20 years from now, you know, they're going to be on the forefront of humanity. So we just have to take care of that. We just have to get everybody on the same page. And I mean, for as easy as I say that, I mean, it's definitely going to be hard, but the dialogue, the communication, the respect, the understanding that, you know, it's hitting close to home. It's hitting closer and closer to home. It used to be 5 degrees of separation. Now it's one. And, you know, and so, man, I just hope that, you know, these riots and all these things don't get out of hand. But I can feel their frustrations. I can feel it.